say something like, don't try to impress God with your works. Don't try to please God with your merits. Don't just try to keep the rules and regulations just to win your way. He looked at other people around him, some lazy, some casual, even uncommitted about faith, some of them maybe just asleep. And then he wondered out loud, who's trying? It was Yoda, the prophet Yoda, you remember him, who said, try not, do. There is no try. So trying to do something is asking for failure. But there's a lot to be said for motivation, and it is good to try. What are we seeking, though? Are we seeking attention, or are we seeking to give attention to the Lord and ruler? For many of us, coming to church means that we glance toward God on the Lord's day and that we gaze at the world all week. Perhaps we should switch those. Perhaps we should reverse that to only give a glance at the things in the world around us, but to leave our gaze upon Christ, the Lord, all week long. That might mean that we need to turn our chairs around and look at things differently. But we all give birth to something, a project or an idea or a dream, a new idea, an influence on a child or on a coworker. The only question is, what are we giving birth to? What kind of an idea are you trying to raise? What are you causing to happen? With the text that we've read from Isaiah, it is the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. It's being a leader. When you talk about being a leader and having your eyes on the goal and looking forward, there's a musical term that comes into play there. It's voice leading. When you're leading and transposing into a new key, voices lead the way for others to follow. It's when the parts flow smoothly that works the best, when it's supposed, like it's supposed to be. When the tones, whether ascending or descending, flow naturally from one to the next, and everything gets resolved. Advent is a season of leading and waiting. Today's text lets us in on what it is that we're waiting for. It's not Christmas, and it's not shopping. It's not stockings. But on a coming day, when the Christ of Christmas shall reign in our world as well as our hearts, when every valley shall be lifted up and the rough places of life smoothed out, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, the voice, the leading voice. When we come to the communion table, it's a little like that. We come to pray, but we also come to be embraced by the Spirit of Christ. We come listening, waiting, but we leave filled with the blessing of Christ and a fellowship in His name. It's like this. We come with burdens, and we leave with blessings. We come to turn around, maybe even to do a double take and to focus our gaze or refocus our gaze on Jesus. We come not to impress God, but to be impressed by God and to be open to new ways of leading. The way we understand baptism in the Methodist tradition, the baptismal covenant begins that leading and sets us on a course where we are going to try to lead others. There's a touching scene in one episode of All in the Family. Remember that old show, Archie Bunker? I think you can still catch the reruns of that sometimes. But in one episode, Archie was thinking that his grandson, his new baby grandson, ought to be baptized. And he tells his daughter and son-in-law so. Gloria and the one they call Meathead say, no, they don't believe in that. So Archie quietly takes his grandson down to the church, meets with the minister, and says that he wants the boy done. The minister tries to explain that baptism is not something that is just done, but it's rather a beginning, a rite of initiation into the church. And it's appropriate when the parents want to make that commitment. Archie's disappointed, but when the program ends, there he is, alone. The lights are dimmed. He's there alone holding his baby grandson in the darkened church sanctuary. He's holding him oh so carefully, like grandparents do. And he reaches into the waters of the baptismal font. He brings back his hand to Joey's head, drips water on him, and says, reverently, I baptize you. Billy Graham has often played the role of the baptizer and the leader of faith in the 20th century. He's probably baptized thousands of people. Archie Bunker baptized one, but maybe that one made an incredible difference. That's what it means to lead. And when you have a character like Archie Bunker, who is setting aside his sour attitude and doing something right for a change, you have to believe there's something good about that. Billy Graham says, we're suffering from just one disease in the world. Our basic problem is not a race problem. It's not a poverty problem. It's not a war problem. Our problem is a heart problem. We need to get the heart changed and transformed. And when our hearts are right, we will be the voice in the world that God intends for us to be. We hear God's voice, and then we echo it. So, some of you have seen the TV program, The Voice. At least you know the premise. The voice coaches have their chairs turned around backwards. It really does change the way that you listen when you can't see what you're listening to. Perhaps one might argue that you can see even better. You can hear even better when you can't see. Maybe through this week you've lost your way somewhere. Maybe you fell off the path, but Sunday is the day that we turn our chairs around. And we not only hear, but we see who is singing. We come to get a glimpse of the face of God. Maybe even to gaze for a time. We see the lovely face, the expressions that go with the music. Suddenly we can see the face in one another of the one to whom we have been listening throughout the week with our chairs backwards. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Pay attention to this one. We turn around and we nod. Ah, yes, that's a familiar voice. We sigh and smile because we hear the voice now in context of a face, a personality, an expression. I encourage you, open a channel to hear that voice and to see that face. Turn your chair around, or even become that voice, or an echo of that voice in your circle of influence. It's been a saying that someone who is a little off-center is one who hears voices that no one else hears. That term is used to describe someone that may be a little over the edge. But I don't think it's a bad thing to be perceptive like that. To hear and see things that other people ignore, or at least don't notice. Or maybe it just has to do with where our attention is. Henry Nouwen said one time, our lives get stuffed with newspaper items, television stories, and gossip. And then our minds lose the discipline of discerning what it is that leads us closer to God and what does not. And our hearts lose their spiritual sensitivity. It's the hard work of acknowledging our sin and repenting or turning around that leads us to God. Let us not fail to be ready when the Master comes, unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. We are watching for His return this Advent. It's not just about looking forward to Christmas. It's looking forward to the coming of Christ in our lives, in our world, to change things and make it better. Christ will come. We are waiting for Him, and that is not a fruitless task. It's what Advent is all about. It's about turning our chairs around and watching for Christ. During Lent, we often use the term watch and wait, remembering Jesus praying in the garden and asking the disciples to wait with Him and keep watch. But here at the beginning of Advent, it's different. This is a season of great anticipation and hope, and we're asked to watch and wait for His arrival and listen to His voice. Listen for His voice. When will your Christmas moment come? I don't know. You'll recognize it if you're watching. Watch for it. Turn your chair around. It may be a song. It may be the face of a child. It may be a moment of insight or a moment of renewal, a moment of being transformed or maybe even molded and shaped in a new way. It may even hurt, but it will be worth waiting for. And I dare you to watch for that moment when transformation and grace comes, and don't you dare miss it. Let's not be like the innkeeper in the story of Christmas who missed the birth. I try to find a guiding image for my own spiritual journey in each season. And this one's a negative image. I want to avoid being the innkeeper. He was the one that turned away the Holy Family and missed out on the miracle of the birth of Christ. Let us not be the innkeeper with our backs turned and our ears distracted with other things. What voice is crying out in your wilderness or in mine? Would we even hear the voice if it came to us in this moment? Would you trust the voice that you hear? Possibly not, unless you're waiting for it. And if you're waiting for it, truly expecting it and listening for it, you're much more likely to hear it and recognize it. So, Advent is not just a countdown to Christmas. It's a countdown to eternity. Let us be ready. Let us be listening. And let us pray. Open our ears, O Holy Christ, that we may hear the voice of the one calling in the wilderness. Prepare the pathway for the Lord. Amen.